from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who could talk about if a tree falls in the forest. I could talk about if it makes a sound. Both the just the fact to say, well, what kind of tree is it? What is it? Oh, well, I was supposed to talk about it makes a sound. The podcast. But I was thinking, would a different tree? Do different trees make? And, you know, of course birds are listening, but that's, these are the kind of things a podcaster thinks about. And the fact that I could go on tangents about that. And, if a podcaster's talking about a tree falling in the forest, does he need to make a sound? Maybe not. But maybe, do I even know what I'm talking? I'm lost in a forest of my own thoughts. And that's why I make Sleep With Me, the podcast, to put you to sleep. And if you could pay attention for just a few minutes, here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right. Hey, everybody. So tonight's episode is a crossover or a tribute episode, more of a tribute episode to the podcast It Makes a Sound and to their new album, Wim Ferrell's The Attic Tape, that just came out as I'm recording this. And if you haven't listened to It Makes a Sound, just open up your podcast app and search It Makes a Sound and subscribe and listen. You can check out everything about the album and the podcast over at nightvalepresents.com and just click on It Makes a Sound. Now, it turns out this podcast is fiction. So I don't when I first listened to it, my mind is doubly blown. But the first season, It Makes a Sound, told the story of Deirdre and her ragtag group of people. You'll find out a lot more about it in this episode, kind of, but you'll be finding out more by listening to the podcast. They had the only known recording of this local legendary musician, Wim Ferrell, and a cassette tape, a boombox, destroyed that recording. And there's a beautiful journey of them setting out to recreate the music from memory. The music from the show and then the music on the album that just came out was written by Jacqueline Landgraf, the creator of It Makes a Sound, and the writer of it. And Nate Wyda, the musical collaborator. And then they worked to create this fully realized album with Vincent Cascione. And that's resulting in The Attic Tape, which we'll talk about in the episode here. And it's available on Bandcamp and on iTunes. It also features the cast members, Annie Golden, who's been in Hair, Orange is the New Black. She played Norma. She was in the 70s New York band The Shirts.
Melissa Mahoney, I don't want to ruin everything by over describing it, but because if you haven't listened to the podcast, you're in for a treat. The album was funded directly through listener support on Patreon, and supporters on Patreon got a digital album, and then the most dedicated supporters are going to get an actual physical cassette tape. So I just want to give you a heads up that, while I have you here, say subscribe to It Makes a Sound. You know, you just roll over. You don't even have to stop. You don't even have to pause the podcast while it's going. But anyway, Mr. Bart, who else works on this show?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner.
I am the mystery bard.
I do the lullabies.
Got a new album out.
I think you'll really like it.
You can get a copy at
JonathanMann.net.
Also, I made a longer version
of this credits song.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Fail Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bart. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. And let's get on with this show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it the bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, so stuff you're thinking about, physical sensations, you know, stuff in your body, emotional things coming to the surface or below the surface, you know, whatever's keeping you awake. It could be travel, it could be temperature, or thoughts about any of that stuff. It could be anything. I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off that. I think it's so. I got this safe place here. I'm making plenty of room, smoothing it, I'm patting it, I'm rubbing it down. I'm saying safe place. And what am I going to do? Oh, I'm going to send my voice across the deep dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, extra stuff. I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to bounce around. I'm going to be like a slow motion pinball machine, particularly tonight, because that's where this crossover happens, and at the unveiling of a pinball machine. You might even not know what a pinball machine is, so I'll even fill you in on that. Not super important because it's actually a sleep podcast. So if you're new, here's a couple of things. I'm here to keep you company in the deep dark night because I've been there. But the show is very different than anything normally is. It's outside the norm because just the design of the show. So I want to give you a heads up and make sure you feel extra welcome and cozy. And because of course you're skeptical. If you're new, you say, "What is this thing?" I don't like. Of course you don't get it. I could be mildly. You'd say, "I'm not sure about this." Okay, that's cool. I'm glad you're here because I'm here. I'm just here to help, and it's an option, totally optional thing. So let me give you a little bit of extra information. That was my point. So the show, all told, is about an hour. And here's the structure of the show, because it's kind of a slow-moving show. Not everybody's played video games in arcades anymore. But maybe everybody's familiar with vending machines. And so this podcast can kind of start out with dealing with the initial exchange if you're dealing with actual currency in a vending machine. Where you see, did it take that coin or not? Is it going to spit that dollar back out? So this show, I don't know what those two things have to do with each other. Actually, I was hoping to get a metaphor out of there. And now I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting to see. B4, that's what I want to, that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get that B4. Okay, I'll just wait. I think he took my money. But so the show starts off structurally. Here's a couple of things. The show starts off with a few minutes of business. And that's how we keep 300 high-quality episodes going, is the business at the top of the show there. Then there's an intro to the show. Now, normal intro is about 2 or 3 minutes. This show has an intro that really is, in some sense, magical in the illusion sense. It's stretched out and long to help ease you into bedtime. And it's also like a multi-use intro. So it takes me somewhere between 11 and 18 minutes to explain that this is a podcast to keep you company while you fall asleep. And the reason it takes so long is, long-term listeners seem to like it, but because you could also skip it. You could say, well, I'd rather just get to the part with the, it makes a sound, a pinball machine or whatever you're teasing here, story. I'd say, okay, you could skip it to ahead about 18 minutes. It'll start there. But yeah, the intro is kind of ease you into bedtime, get you comfortable. It gets you, if you're new, to say, well, okay, let me try to explain this podcast. And I'm not trying to confuse you even more, but that ends up being the results. And then you could fall asleep. So some listeners fall asleep during the intro. Some listeners wind down, or it's part of their routine as they're getting ready for bed. Some listeners skip it. And then more and more people I hear from, they also kind of listen during the day. For a different kind of wind down, you know, during the day wind down. So there's really no wrong way to use it. Like initially, kind of see how it goes, test it out. And most listeners say it took 2 or 3 tries before I understood that the podcast is, it's incomprehensible in a positive way, ideally. You know, that would be the ideal. So the structure shows, then, so there's the intro that I'm explaining, and I've been explaining for 4 minutes. Then there's this, there's some business between the intro and the show, and then there's the story part, which tonight we'll be talking about. It makes a sound, and this makes a sound, and pinball enthusiast I met, who made a pinball machine to it makes a bespoke pinball. We'll get to it, and that'll be about 45-55 minutes. And there's some thank yous at the end of the show. So that's the structure of the show. Here's the other things. This is the kind of podcast where listening is optional. If you choose to listen or you can't fall asleep, that's the main reason why it's optional. I promise it'll be mild and meandering. And it'll have superfluous tangents and me getting mixed up and then, you know, filler words, corny jokes, goof, you know, being a goof and that kind of stuff. Friendly banter, of course. Oh, man. I love it when you bring up friendly banter. You got me. I don't know if that was my attempts at friendly banter. You got me there. That wasn't friendly banter. You totally bantered me on my banter fail. Oh, you holy. But what was I saying? Oh, you don't need to listen to me, but you can. So you could kind of turn down the volume to whatever you're comfortable, or just kind of listen in as I tune out. You say, okay, well, Scoots isn't making a whole lot of sense here. I say, well, it's a pleasant enough tone. And every once in a while, I do like pleasant banter, so you don't need to listen, but there's also no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the shows are structured and complete, and say it has a long intro that's new every time, and then a new story, and it comes out twice a week, is and the shows are over an hour, right around an hour, so you don't have any pressure to fall asleep. You got plenty of room. You have plenty of episodes ready to go as backup. I'm here to, as much to put you to sleep as I am to keep you company while you fall asleep, or to be here to take your mind off of stuff if you can't sleep. So whatever one of those works for you tonight is how I hope the pod, you know, that's the role I hope the podcast serves. And I guess I was trying to make a metaphor about pinball, which in some sense isn't too hard because for me, I like playing pinball, but by no means am I skilled at it. And there are like different ways to say, you know, I think there's pinball rankings, but I play it for fun. I say, well, I kind of like it. I more like it because the games are either different than arcade games or video games. And they have this rich, usually the better ones have some sort of story, and then they have a limited amount of things you can do, but the things you can do, they're kind of hard. And a lot of things, sometimes you do one thing, it causes another thing to happen. So a bit like those, whatever those things are called, where you say, well, like Pee Wee Herman built, you know, like Pee Wee Herman's Kitchen or whatever, where you crack an egg, then it leaks, and, you know, that makes the donut, you know, go around so that you get your breakfast on time. I forget what those are called, like, but, you know, eventually I'll remember. Some kind of machine. And I don't know. So I just like, so I'm not good at it. And then the ball's rolling. I find it soothing, and I find it fun. Sometimes I don't find it. I find it a little bit, it doesn't work for me. And some days, you know, I say, well, I guess I'm not consistently. Some days I say, wow, I'm really nailing it here. Really feeling that left flipper. Oh, so pinball machine, just in case. So there's arcade games, which are like video games that you put quarters in or money in. Or now you go to these video game restaurants or pubs or museums and play them. And the pinball machines are the ones that actually are physical machines. So they usually have a ball in there and you flick it with flippers and stuff. So yeah, very sleepy stuff. I mean, we say, what are the top 10 sleepy things in the world? Oh, pinball machines for sure. But yeah, if you slow it down, the rolling of a ball, and in this case, it's more steeped in this person's interest in fandom. I always find fandom very soothing, and the depth of details that absorb fans and what they fixate on. So that's really what tonight's story will be about, is a fan of pinball, and it makes a sound. But if you're new, the podcast is here to keep you company while you fall asleep. It's that simple. Because I have trouble sleeping, and when I do, it's not all, you know, it's tough to kind of break up whatever it is that mechanism that starts grinding or churning. And then you go from it being a benign thing where you say, well, I just want to get to sleep, to being more aggravating, I guess, and not to use an intense word, but that's pretty low on the intensity meter. So I guess that's it. I mean, the main thing is, if you're new, give it a few tries. That's what everybody says that listens. I'm working on a version of a website. So if the show doesn't work for you, you're listening right now and you're like, oh no, I don't think I like this podcast, but if you still want some help, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothanks. Or no thank you. Either one should work eventually when I get around to making it. And that'll give you some other resources to check out to sleep to. Because, you know, I've been there, even at this podcast, because it doesn't work for everybody. So those are some options. I mean, the main message is I really appreciate your time and checking the show out. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive.
Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
All right, so everybody, this is a kind of interesting tribute to It Makes a Sound, the podcast, which you can listen to. And if you're still with me, just open your podcast app, subscribe. It's a very bingeable podcast if you're into that. You know, listen to the first 3 or 4 episodes and, you know, keep listening. Just to recap, though, It Makes a Sound is kind of a story about a ragtag group of neighbors led by Deirdre, who are in search of music. They have a cassette of Wim Pharos's only concert in known existence, the brilliant Wim Pharos. And they set out after that cassette tape. So that's the journey of the show. I was going to tell you more. Maybe I did at the beginning. But they took the music from the journey of the podcast. Those are songs by the writer and creator of the podcast, Jacqueline Landgraf, and collaborator Nate Wyda. And they worked with, they took like, sketched out the songs and then made an album. So not only can you check out the podcast, you could check out Wim Pharos the Attic Tape. And you could do all of that at nightvalepresents.com and then click on It Makes a Sound and how to subscribe to the podcast, how to become a patron of the podcast, and how to get the album, which you can also search in Apple Music and stuff. But so I had this interesting experience. So I'm going to bring on actually such a creative person. And they go by two pseudonyms, Bill and WimFan92. And they have a very interesting pastime or creation. They're artists. They're actually a working artist. But they're a private artist. They make it's an interesting thing. Bill at WimFan92 makes art for themselves and for patrons, individual patrons, I believe. Oh, no, it's just the patron. The patrons just support Wim making this art. But, okay, so, anyway, okay. Different than Patreon. Like, we're talking about, you know, whatever, one patron. Let's not get distracted, as I usually do. So, I was at a pinball museum. You know, a lot of times I joke about the word bespoke, but it also means handmade, handcrafted things. And I don't like it, but I guess this is different. Like, but it applies in this case is like you have pinball machines. Now those are kind of not mass manufactured, but they're manufactured. They still are made. They're still popular and not as popular as they once were. But so they're made by companies. Now what Bill does is Bill buys old pinball machines that are still working. And strips all of the branding or whatever the game once was, or if it's already kind of partially faded. And Bill makes these one-off games dedicated to other things. That, of course, because of the privacy, we don't even know the other games that Bill has made, but probably pretty rad. But so we were sharing we connected over It Makes a Sound, but that's a little short and long of it. And eventually Bill, we talked and Bill said, you're making an It Makes a Sound, a pinball game, an It Makes a Sound pinball. It would just be It Makes a Sound, but it's a pinball game. And again, I may not be using all of it because Bill's kind of rolling Bill's eyes. But because of the nature of it, I think, you know, Bill says I will be able to see the game or play it, but Bill's going to go and record, Bill's going to take it over and describe the game to you. I'm doing the setup. But I think, right, Bill, after you get to know my audience, you're totally going to let me play, play the game a few times. Because also, Bill, once the game's played and I think pictures are taken and given to the patrons who supported the creation of it. But the game goes out of existence. So it's kind of like a temporary thing. And Bill wants to know that Bill did this before the whole Banksy shredding thing. But I think that's there's a genre of artists that do that. But Bill's, talk about cutting edge art. You're not gamifying art. You're art for gamification or something. Okay, so I better turn it over to Bill while I still try to build this rapport. So this is Bill, WimFan92. And Bill's going to walk you through. And believe me, this is we did a rehearsal yesterday. It's going to be a top of the line sleepy stuff because Bill's we're two birds of a feather. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Bill here. Hi, everybody. My name's Bill. And as Scooter kind of said, I'm here. Thank you for having me on. And I'm going to describe to you It Makes a Sound. And one of the main things that, Scooter and I met at a pinball museum. And we bonded over the great, amazing journey of Deirdre. And Cody and Rod and Mom, a journey of discovery that takes place on the podcast. And I don't want to, this game is not plot, super plot based. It's more of a tribute, but it will give away some things, but it won't, I don't think it'll spoil anything as you listen to Deirdre's journey and the rest of the family in a broad term. Their pursuit of assembling the Wim Pharos, the attic tape. And so, but basically what Scooter said is fairly accurate. I don't build pinball machines, and I'm not so much a mechanic as I am someone that takes a game and rebrands it or reimagines it. So this is built on a previous game, and that game is kind of remains a mystery too. And one of the most important things for me is the first sound you would hear along with the art associated with it. So the first sound when you pull the plunger is Deirdre saying, "It makes a sound." So anytime you shoot the ball, you hear that. And that's the most powerful through point for me. It's the way the episode started. It's the way the game starts. Because there's this enthusiasm and joy with just a tiny amount of, because you're thinking of the tree that falls in the forest that makes a sound. So there's just a tiny amount of humanity, drips of humanity. I mean, there's a lot of humanity in there, but you know what I mean, especially if you listen to the podcast. And another thing I have, especially when I'm doing something that I very much care about in a soulful way, is I don't want to capture any images. The interesting thing about creating the pinball game and podcasting is even though pinball, you're physically there, it does involve a level of theater of the mind. Even though it is a visual game, this particular game I have invested a lot of energy in. So it also includes smells along with a lot of sounds from the game. Some of the art on the sides of the game in the back, which would be the bigger the back panel art, are usually the most impressive. And those is art from the mural in Wim's room with the octopus Diane Sawyer, some of the images from like Halloween with the blue pumpkin. Sorry, I'm like a bit like Scooter. So the Wim's mural is kind of streaming out of the bedroom in some sense. It's just my, like, so you have the pizza phases and the moon. You have kind of the political stuff like Ross Perot. You have the Sculler and Mulder stuff, Mulder and Scully stuff. The squirrels, with so just a lot of stuff that you kind of is my tribute and my reimagination. Then we have some, like, one of the sides of the game is kind of a tribute to a little bit about Deirdre and what we know, and Mom, and Rosemary Hill's in the background. And the ideal thing is that then the other side of the panel is like, one side is, well, I guess, I don't know if Rosemary Hill's technically had a heyday, but so Rosemary Hill's in its current state on the right side. And then, you know, stuff just stuff that came up with your, just the newspaper article, the troll grotto, the fence, the idea of the attic, music, like music boxes and snow globes, you know, a lot of the different candies that came up. So just like cool stuff. And then some of that play field has some of that art too. And just stuff from the show, little cookies I try to do. So like glow sticks, again, like the Kool-Aid. These are also going to be smells that'll come up. And I know it, like, but also another thing that's important to me is when the game, so there's the art of the game, and these are kind of weenies to in a sense, originally to draw you into play the game, that people have all, some people have always stopped, not had a chance to stop and soak in, and especially now with the kind of unfocusing effects of nostalgia, is, I guess, a neutral way to put it. People missed out on what they had. And so they appreciate it in a new different way. You know, people always see the past in a different way than it was, but it was a lot of cool art to take in, and it was tactile and stuff like that. So there's the physical art. Then there's the, when the game is not being played, the sound art. So a lot of that is like different sounds that were important to me. Like, there's the hum of the light in the attic. There's wind sounds, and I have them all cross-faded. So, and a long, very long, randomized, it's not a loop, it's because there's digital equipment in there. But so there's like Mom shuffling, a lot of stuff with Mom, peacocks squawking, calling, baby monitor turning on and off. Because Cody, like, definitely the zap, it was the EAP of Cody, the tape sound. Some of these are in-game sounds, someone using the clapper, even a little bit of a clapper ad from the TV show, a beeper going off, and different phrases mom used. And then every once in a while, an instrument will come in, like piano, or banjo, tambourine, flute, sometimes those would be cookies if you were actually just listening to the game. A lot of Cody quotes, and then calming voices of Deirdre and Mom, I like to have. So just a lot, just another thing that originally would have been to draw your interest to the game. It becomes a part of the immersiveness of it, just in my opinion. And again, this, I'm not actually, I try not to use any pinball jargon because I'm not a pinball mechanic. I'm just someone that says, like, just with something I've been doing for a long time is, I did it a few times and someone heard about it, even though I didn't tried to not tell anybody. And then I was lucky enough that some individuals, that were in a position to do so financially said, we'll just pay you to keep doing this. And you don't have to, we're supporting your art and our appreciation of your art, not public art. And I know very few artists like get to achieve. I know Scooter does it, but in a more spread out and public way. But a lot of times it comes up like when Scooter said, well, how can you afford to do this? And I said, well, I'm lucky. But just because, I don't know, I do, like he said, make it sleepy. So you got to answer these basic questions. So that's everything. So I will get into the next part or the rest of the episode of me kind of being covering playing the game. And I'm just trying to think of anything else that would be helpful. Because as Scooter said, I think this is really sleepy stuff. It doesn't have a lot of jargon in there. But it is more of a theater of the mind experience in a sleepy way when you're describing pinball. As people have told me, they said, okay, maybe I should just come play the game. They said, well, you're not allowed to actually do that. So, you know, the other games I've made that I have shared with people. A couple other features of this game. As I said, there's smell vision. There is a bubble machine. Those are rare and probably impossible to make. And then also with it, now this is because I am a supporter of WimFan 92. I do have my own copy of the album. And since I'm the only person that gets to play this game, they did create a mechanism that if you do complete the finale task of making all the sounds, the game will eject the cassette tape or tribute cassette tape of the real album, Wim Ferrell's The Attic Tape. So that is the goal of the game. And then the game, all the games they make are paid games. Like they do cost me a quarter, and I leave the quarters in there. And then, you know, what happens after that is what happens after that. And, you know, I do try to play the game to conclusion. I do try to have a little mystique around it and say I only play it once and then the game goes away. That's not necessarily true, but I don't know. And I don't know if Scooter could do this with his bedtime story thing where he just charges whatever. I think he said a joke on the show where he said $100,000 and I'll tell you personal bedtime story, $100,000 per story. I don't know if that pricing's great, but it's, you know, his art is probably worth it. And then he also told me that he was going to do for wealthy customers, warm their bathtub, human warmed bathtub. I said, well, I don't know if that's art. I mean, it is art in some sense that someone would think of that and do it. But, you know, once. Okay, so let's get down to the rules in the, game. So the object of the game is to follow the Deirdre, Cody, Mom, and Rod's journey and it makes a sound. And to bring the songs and the sounds and the music of Wim Ferrell to life and recreate the attic tape. And if you accomplish that, you have to complete all these different tasks that we will go through. You complete and actually eject and get your own copy of the attic tape. The setting of the game is Rosemary Hills, present day. I think that's it. And then let me run through the play field, and then I'll run through the different games and levels and stuff. And yeah, there are blueprints and stuff, but... Okay, so the so a pinball machine is especially in the last they can be very. There's a lot of different things, but lots of games rely on multiple ramps, hidden shots, and then a kind of big feature, which in the theme park world would be called a weenie. And a weenie in this game, which I'll get to as I go around the playfield, but that's more, the big thing is it's not in the center of the playfield; it's in the upper left corner. Well, not quite the whole total upper left, but on the upper left playing part of the playing field is a boom box. And it's actually a box so it can rotate 360 degrees or 90 degrees or 180 degrees as part of different games, which you'll see. But that's the biggest feature. Another bigger feature that pulls your eyes in is a water tower feature that's part of a multi-ball. Purple Velveteen Diary. Okay, but let me run through it. So on the right-hand side is a plunger, which if you pull back, the ball will travel actually upwards on a silver ramp, and the ball will then drop down on a kind of catwalk, which is similar to what would look like a roller coaster thing for the ball. And if you shoot it really hard, it will go out all the way to the top right corner of the game. And there's a couple different shots you can do. There's a skill shot where you just give it enough energy to drop through the hole. Then it rolls down
and drops it right at your right flipper. And that would be the skill shot where you're supposed to hit the boombox, which we'll talk about. Otherwise, it goes up to the thing, which we'll get to. So that's the entrance to Rosemary Hills is what I call it. Then there's a right outer loop. Like most of the games have a left loop and a right loop that goes around the entire a loop around the back of the play field, which if you hit the ball in the right way, it'll loop all the way around. And that's part of something. Oh, then we have another secret feature, which is a troll grotto, which is on the right, kind of the right side of the upper center of the play field. And that's actually something that pops up in like a secret thing. It pops up. It has the USA troll in there to look like it's going to catch the ball. And the ball can go in there, and then it's like a trap door type thing. Behind that is our right side ramp, which is the stairway to the attic. And it's a ramp that goes up from the right side of the playing field to the upper left side. It curls back around and goes to a catwalk, which actually recrosses the playing field and drops again to the right plunger, or the right flipper. It also connects with the left ramp, which we'll talk about. It's more of a center line. Usually there's a left. Sometimes there's three ramp games. This has a center ramp, which is, I call it the left ramp. I don't know why. Then there's usually a spinner feature in a lot of games. This one is a pinky rewind or a tape. It kind of has an animation of a pinky rewinding. And it triggers a sound, even though I guess these are detached. It does trigger the sound of the tape going haywire. And that's part of a game. Then there's the center ramp, which is the entrance to the clubhouse. Then games have bumpers. A lot of times they're called jets now. So these are the peacock jets. There's three bumpers. They add some randomness, some scoring. They're part of games. And one is Park Song, and the other two are the original Peacocks. Above the bumper jets are three lanes, which is where if you don't do the skill shot, the ball will come out. It can randomly go down a lane. One of the lanes would be lit up as a part of not a skill shot, but a more random thing. And those lanes are piano, flute, and tambourine. And again, they have sound effects and a little... pictures to mark that. Behind their lights is a mirror, which I call the attic mirror, because a lot of this play field is obscured. You can't really see the lights unless you look in the mirror. But it also adds an element of kind of like what Rod and Cody talked about in regards to Mom. So you say, well, oh wait, it's a mirror image. Behind, like underneath and to the right, to the left of the peacock jets is a block for the diary, which is actually there's a ball behind it. It's just made to look like a diary lock. Even though that wasn't exactly part of the story, I thought it was important to me. Then there's also this purple velveteen diary that's, next to the lock, and that's part of a game. Then we have another loop that kind of goes in between the two ramps and then around the back of the boombox, and that's the Cody boombox loop, that one's related to when Cody plugged the boombox in. So there you see a cord, and the cord has an effect of an energy effect, because Scooter said keep it sleepy. Then we have the boombox again, which you'll see it has other faces on it other than the boombox that we'll talk about. Then there's the Rosemary Hills Water Tower. It's made to look rusty, and it has it's part of a multi-ball game. It has actually a magnet in it, which sucks up a ball and then sucks up a second ball as part of triggering. So it's a pretty cool effect. That's also part of a game. And also it rocks when the magnet's not turned on. So that's cool. And then, yeah, there's the ball. It starts with no balls hanging off it, but when it's activated, you get two balls there, and then the third one would activate the multi-ball. And again, in a real pinball situation, this would be a real maintenance issue, I think.
Then we have the left outer loop. We have the catwalk that I talked about that's just to carry the ball from the ramps. Oh, the center ramp for the clubhouse entrance merges as the stairs to the attic head to the left. Okay, there's another round of play, another level of the play field. So in the center of the two flippers is the shoot again light, which again turns on if you have like an extra ball or when you first start out to give you a little wiggle room if something wacky happens so you don't lose your game right away. Again, in front of that are some lights that are monitoring if you're making all the sounds and going through all the games. Then there's the actual sounds you'll be making, which again is just terminology that'll make sense in a little while. But these are bigger squares that are light up and they have images associated with the different games. Then we have the attic tape, which is a yellow with purple writing. And that's like, that says the attic tape. I'll talk more about it. But so that one lights up when you're in the final part of the game to release the actual Wim Pharos attic tape. Above that is Wim Pharos, but it's circles with all the letters of Wim Pharos' name. And that also looks like a tape label in purple. Above that are Epoch, another set of letters as part of another game, something I thought was important to me. There's another, this thing, it looks like a clock. Because that's what it once was, but it's a way to keep a track of the song list, 1 through 9. Then there's this sign. This is just a label in the play field that goes lit up when you're trying to trigger the Purple Velveteen Diary multi-ball. There's different locks on the different loops. If you're locking multi-balls, those will be a lit lock. There's another one when you spell Epoch, that also lights a lock to trigger a multi-ball game. In between the Peacock Jets are lightning bolts because they were already there, and I thought that was cool, like when the power goes out and stuff. Those are there. Then there's little other diamonds-shaped things that are supposed to be the candy. Those are really small lights. Ideally, I wanted them to be the different candies. Then there's a light that says start finale, which would be to start the finale making the tape. There's an extra ball light for when like you would go up the left loop to get an extra ball. There's another lock. There's another spell Wim Pharos. That after you spell Wim Pharos, if you do that, you get that's part of that. Then each like a kind of gutter where if you... when the ball kicks out of the ball could go down. Sometimes those are lit special, which could give you a special thing. So that's a play field. So let's get into the, so the skill shot is when you open the game. Deirdre says it makes a sound when you release the balls. Also when multi-balls start and the balls are shooting, or you get a big jackpot, just cause I found that very cool. But so the opening shot has you entering Rosemary Hills, shooting a ball, kind of randomly it'll select a bonus. It could be, these aren't super important, but, you know, 10 million, 2X combo, start making a sound, 20 million, add a song to the song list, or a random bonus, like X times your end score. And when the ball gets to the right plunger, then you have to hit the boombox and you get the skill shot. So it's kind of like you have to get the skill to hit, plunge it the right amount of speed so it drops. And then you also have to, if you hit it too short, it'll kick out, like there's an automatic kick to kick it all the way to the top of the play field. So if you're short on your skill shot, it's just enough. But so if you then you just have to hit the boombox on the first try. Okay, so that's theater skill shot. Now these are all the like things you the tasks you have to complete to get to the finale, which is so you can get the attic tape released. So there's spelling Wim Pharos. Shooting the ball in the left lane when Wim Pharos is lit will add a letter. To Wim Pharos' name. Completing all of the letters of Wim Pharos will start to Wim Ferrell's Hurry Up. It starts at $50 million, and you could collect the value by shooting it into the boombox, which will have spun around and be an open cassette tape, 180 degrees. If you hit a peacock bumper, you will get, the value will go up. Even though it's ticking down, it'll go back up. If you complete this, the Hurry Up, after you've spelled Wim Ferrell's, then Wim Ferrell's will be lit, and that task will be complete. The next task is the EPA. Now, these tasks can be completed in any order or, kind of simultaneously. EPOCH, E-P-O-C-H, complete all the letters in EPOCH to light the inner, the Cody loop, plugging the boombox in for a lock. So you by shooting up either ramp, so up to the attic or into the clubhouse, you add a letter to EPOCH. After the second ball is locked by doing that Cody loop, the trunk will spin to another side, which is the coaster. And hitting the coaster, which has a magnetic thing on there, so I'll pull the ball to the center of the coaster. That will lock the ball there and hold it, and it'll start the multi-ball. And one ball will shoot out of a troll grotto, one ball will come down to your plunger, and then once those two balls are in play, that third ball will drop off, the magnet will stop, and the ball will fall into play. And just triggering that multi-ball, then you just have to do one loop or one lamp to get a jackpot, and then that will light the EPOCH lamp, and that task will be completed. Okay, then there's the full song list. This is the clock on that side. You're just looking to advance the song list to all 9 songs. Shooting, happens in the right loop. Can advance the song list towards 9 songs. Each 2 shots advance it 1 song. When it reaches 9 songs, it's time to record. And a timer starts. So, like, you have your studio time. You got to get everybody in there. You have to have the music. This is an imaginary thing, you know. And what you have to do is, again, shoot the ball into the boombox. Will turn 180 degrees. The cassette tape will be open. And you have to shoot the ball into that open thing 9 times. Now, I do give you a randomized, shoot again thing. Just to try to give you a chance. It is doable, though, to do it 9 times, because it is one of the few shots you can probably figure out, and it's kind of like put at a really friendly angle that even kind of beginners, like, it's just like the one spot on the playing field that most people were likely to shoot the ball even by accident into a lot of times, not all the time, but. Okay, so by doing that, then you've lit the song list, and that task is completed. Okay, so now we have the bulk of the games. This is called Making the Sounds. So there's 8 games, but kind of correspond, not exactly corresponding with episodes, but there's 8 different games or steps to making the sounds. They're all located in the center of the game as individual lights. So hitting the boombox when it's in its original boombox state, you're slowly lighting the 3 candy gems or pieces of gum or whatever, Gusher's gum. And then you're trying, like, if all 3, so you, each time you hit it, 1 gem is lit. Then on the 4th time, you'll start making the sounds, and it'll randomly choose one of the sounds to be made. And so these are the ones. The first one is Open the Purple Velveteen Diary, or shorthand is Open the Diary. And you have to shoot out the lock for the Purple Velveteen Diary and hit it. Each successful hit, now there's a digital display on the backstop of the game, and animations, again, associated with the game. This time it'll, like, go through the diary, like, looking like you're shuffling through the pages of the diary. You also get 15 million points each side, each time you do that. You just have to do that. Then you've completed opening the diary. Again, this will also have sounds of Deirdre talking from the diary when it's shuffling. So again, very immersive. The next game is called Into the Attic. During this game, you will go up the right staircase into the attic, and it's how many trips to the attic. So the light will hum, you'll hear wind, and it's like you need to make 9 trips to the attic. To kind of create, you know, 9's kind of important, and to create the whole song list. And each time the thing, now there is a random challenge in this game, and during this game and a couple other ones, the power will go out at randomized times. It's just a random number generator. It's pretty fair, and it's pretty short, but if it just happens to be at the random time, like your plungers won't work, or your flippers won't work. So just adds a little bit more difficulty, but also I balance that out with adding some shoot again, so that like not a 2-for-1, like in a ratio that felt fair to me. Because a couple times I was imagining if Cody was playing the game, and then I was like, well, I could set a setting for Cody. Okay, the next game is Trick or Treat in Rosemary Hills. As you go trick-or-treating in Rosemary Hills, you also might sneak through the fence. Again, some of this is just trying to imagine myself in the world a little bit. Each time you hit the boombox during trick-or-treating, you get a treat or a trick, which is just like, I don't know if I should. So one would be Wim's mask. The other one, even though it's not on Halloween, is like the kids saying K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Then there's the tricks are like candies that Deirdre doesn't like, Rolos that Deirdre doesn't like, and the treats are like the twist, you know, the good candies, as well as the candies that were in that were in the Tupperware. So basically, you just have to hit this one 3 times. But if you hit it more, you get more points. Because I said, well, I don't know why I picked 3. Okay, this next game is Pinky Rewind. So there's the Pinky Rewind spinner. You're trying to rewind and save the tape. So the digital display will be related to that. All you're basically trying to do is like spin the tape enough until it makes so it's like it just depends on your speed. But again, there's a number set in the machine that'll trigger the next sound effect for the tape to go wrong. Then you have to spin it again to eject the tape and press stop. And hopefully, ideally, one day, you know, Rod can fix the tape or something. I don't know, but. Yeah, so that's like just what you like. That one's pretty, you know, it's not, it's a little bit harder for shot again. I guess I base this also on the shot difficulty. So it's more of a time based thing, but really, if you hit it 2 or 3 times, you'll be good. I mean, I guess the last one is just performing on pressure because you're just saying, stop it, like, and then it's like this tension music. So that's the one. Next one is Dances with Trolls. Basically, you've got to dig up the time capsule, or Deirdre and Cody do. So again, this is something that didn't necessarily take place on scene. And then go through, like with everybody, what was in the vault. This one does include a digital game. So when it first starts, you're digging like with your left and right flippers, but it's pretty easy and straightforward. It's just for fun and nothing, you know, nothing really happens. But then basically what you're trying to do is shoot the ball up Cody's loop. Each time Cody will get a little zappy poo and one item will be taking out of the, like you'll hear, Rod describing it, the opening of the different items. You'll also hear, you know, the stuff like when Cody maybe borrows something And basically this one, it's, this one is five shots associated with EPOC, even though it doesn't have anything to do with direct with EPOC. That's why it has five shots. So it kind of doesn't matter, but if you keep going, you'll get everything and even the newspaper, along with like just everything. So that's, it's cool. Yeah, it's 10 million per item, and then 25 million if you get all the way to the newspaper, the Weaving article. The next one is Rod on the Banjo. You're basically helping Rod help. Rod's there to assist everybody. But why don't you assist Rod? Each shot you make, you're supposed to, this one, you're going up the attic staircase again, just symbolically, but each shot up the attic staircase, Rod will say something helpful because you've helped Rod. And this one has a lot of smells, so there is the cinnamon toast smell. That's the first one because I thought it was extra special. There's also the cleaning smells. There's also Rod joking with Cody. So just a little bit of a Rod playing the banjo also the whole time. There's even a cookie in there, like depending on how long you go, that you can make Rod stop playing the flute. So pretty proud of that one. The next one's Cody's drum solo. This also includes a digital game, which is a Ninja Warrior Master, but with Rod teaching Cody a life lesson about mom. And so this is like the game can also be unlocked anytime you do go through Cody's loop three times, it'll unlock the game just in case you, like when they're not in a gameplay mode. But basically Ninja Warrior Master is a digital side-scrolling game where you're the Ninja Warrior Master, and there's only two buttons, like left and right on your flipper buttons. And one is to jump and one is to move backwards. And you're basically like Mario or something, trying to jump over the other, the squirrels in this game, because I thought women would think that was funny, or acorns. At different random times, which flipper button does which will change. So one will make you move back, one will make you jump up. You're always moving slowly. It's endless scroller or whatever. So you're always scrolling a little bit. But it's just a fun little game. But then you're basically you're trying to get Cody's drum solo, which you can do in two ways. You can go in Cody's loop, which will just do a fast drum solo, or you could go into the Peacock Jets. And then Cody will do different drums, like based on the jets. Either one of the tasks three times, you'll lock that level that you've completed it. And okay, so that's Cody drum solo. The last game is called Clubhouse. I was going to call it Party at Clubhouse. But then I just saw Clubhouse because there's two trips to Clubhouse. The first one is the original party. So that you have like sound. This one you can trigger the bubble machine. Just so you know, there's also there's a bubble smell, which is different than making bubbles, as I've learned. Again, you get a Pine Sol, Windex. Peacock poop. That's another smell. Like if you hit the peacocks, if you hit the bark song bumper first and then the other two peacocks, it'll also release that smell randomly during the game. But this is where it all started, basically at the party at the clubhouse. And so this is the fourth side of the boombox, which is also the original coaster. And I wish I had the more advanced technology to have it slowly fill in, which would be my dream. But it's kind of like, basically, this is when Wim is. So if you hit it once, you'll hear Wim crack. You go to Pepsi, Crystal Pepsi. You'll hear Mom talking. You'll just hear different things from the party that we know about. Also, there's a randomizer in there. At some point when you hit it, you could stop the other kids from saying K-I-S-S, women, Deirdre in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. And each time you hit it, it blows bubbles, which I thought was cool. Oh, there's Blimpies. The sourdough bread smell is another one. Mix in with that game. So those are the other the games. So I think those are all the games. Then there's a Troll Grotto game. This is a separate thing. So the Troll Grotto will pop up at different times when you've activated it. Because there's center targets that will open the Troll Grotto. Also, like, going into the, like, this is during the game when you're not playing a game, like an open play. Going into the clubhouse will open the Troll Grotto. I know it's unrelated. And then shooting into the Troll Grotto after that will trigger different things or images, like about Wim from the podcast. Like the Chrysler or the Baron, like trolls dancing, that's on the digital display. That's my favorite thing. Trolls debate, different things, even some stuff I guess fan fiction, because they said trolls doing this. Yeah, but there's a lot of different things. This way you could also, like during this game, like different prizes will be awarded. So you could like the extra ball. There's one where you could like where you have to make it in the tape. So these are just like mini games almost. Because Troll Grotto is a cool feature. And also Troll Grotto is like for a lot of multi-balls where stuff kicks out. What else? Okay, so then there's also the different lock loops when they're lit. The ball will disappear sometimes, like it'll go around and it'll be caught in a secret lock. But there's also locks on the diary lock, which ties into locking balls for multi-ball in the water tower. But when you lock a ball, it will add a ball to one of these multi-balls that are possible, like the Epoch or the Open the Diary multi-ball or the water tower multi-ball. Okay, so when the right lane is lit, Open the Diary multi-ball, a right loop shot will try to open the diary, and then like if you hit the ball, like when it says you basically have to hit the lock, and each time you hit the lock, if you hit it three times, then it'll trigger that multi-ball. But the right loop is the one that gets the multi-ball awards. That again, you have to do that one. And then the water tower multi-ball is very similar. Like if you hit the water tower, like over the course of the game, which is kind of almost by accident sometimes, if you hit it nine times, then the magnet will turn on. The next time you go to hit it, the ball will actually get sucked up into this water spout that I added. And then the next shot after that, the ball will go, again, not during any gameplay. This is just during open play. But then another ball will be magnetized. And believe me, the magnet can barely hold those two balls together. It wasn't originally how it was designed. And then a third hit will start the multi-ball where those two balls will release. So all your balls will just instantly be in play. But anytime... you also get a shoot again thing. So if the balls all go down the thing, then the balls will start shooting out the Troll Grotto. And on that one, it'll just score a lot of points. So any ramp or any loop, you could score jackpots on that one. Okay, so once all those are done, we're on to the grand. Like, so after you've completed all those, so the two multi-balls, spelled out Epochs, spelled out Wim Pharos, completed all of the sounds. Maybe I forgot something because I'm overwhelmed, but you're ready to release a Wim Pharos attic tape, which you should definitely get. It's so cool, man. But after making all the sounds, you're ready to release Wim Pharos attic tape. Wim Pharos attic tape will light a shot. Now you have to, what you have to do next is kind of specific. You have to shoot into Cody's loop. to plug in the boombox, which kind of started the, like the loss of the tape started the making of the tape. Then you have to hit all four combinations of the box. So you have to hit the boombox. Then you have to shoot the ball into the boombox, which will call the ball, cause the ball to kick out of the troll grotto. Then you have to hit the coaster from the party. Then you have to hit the magnetic coaster. Then each one of these adds a letter to Wim Pharos, by the way. Completing the rest of the things is kind of open for the rest of the letters of Wim Pharos. I don't know what we're at. I guess I don't see it in my notes. But again, if you do like go into the attic, go into the clubhouse, do the right loop or the left loop, if you go up into the bumpers, again, the bumpers are more triggered by a number, so you have to get 22 bumper hits. That'll unlock that. I think that's everything. I'm trying to think of anything else. Basically, you'll win the game. I mean, there's other simpler stuff, but I really just wanted to make a game because I really just adored the podcast so much, and just there's so much. When you listen to it, or you, if you already listen, you know there's so much to connect to. There's this joy and depth of things that exist other than joy in it. And it's funny, it's fun, but there's also a lot of other stuff going on. I think a lot of us connect to like Deirdre and Mom, and also like what Cody brings and what Rod brings, and say, okay, like, you know, sometimes you're all of those people. And I don't know, you know, it's a lot like, they say something about returning home. I don't know, whatever they say about it. And then when you think about Rosemary Hills, and returning there, and what do we, you know, we like, what we know of Deirdre, and, this is not easy, you know, and like, so I just saw it as a beautiful thing, and I want to make a beautiful thing about it. And just something, I guess, so I could feel closer to the story personally and have some fun, some extra fun. I mean, I wish, like I said, I could play the game with, you know, Deirdre and Cody and Rod and Mom. I think they would like that. But unfortunately, like part of the deal with the people that support my art is that I can't, it's like I'm making it for them, but really making it for me and for everybody who makes a sound. And so, yeah, just want to thank everybody. And I want to thank Jacqueline and Nate and Vincent and Melissa, Annie, Anya, and, you know, everyone at Night Vale Presents, like Joseph, Jeffrey, Christy, Adam, Vincent. I want to thank Carl and Jonathan and Chris Posty, who all helped Scooter out. And yeah, and I guess Scooter's going to say some thank yous and some good nights. So thanks for listening to my game. Good night, everybody. Make sure it makes a sound. Don't forget that. Let it live in your, you know, remember Wim Pharos already. Good night. I want to thank everybody who recently reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts. Sleepless Aussie says, amazing, works wonders, no idea how, keep it up, thank you. Mandy, 3939, says, insomnia cure, 15 minutes of sleep within turning this on, love, love, love it, life-changing. HAPS Reviews says, genius, use this on vacation, now I use it every night. For someone who's been a bit of an insomniac or anyone that thinks too much, it works great, saved me a number of nights. BG7737, essential for those who have trouble sleeping. I've always needed white noise or fans or music or TV. But then I moved in with my partner. I had to kind of find a more private white noise. As soon as I found the show, I knew my life would be changed. It's true. It may take a few episodes before it really puts you to sleep. It's like meditation. You have to get your brain to the point where you think of nothing. I seriously listen to this podcast every night. Most nights it takes about 5 minutes. This one, even though it's not nice, it was funny because it reminded me of the last episode of The Good Place and what Janet says to Tahani would be not good. It feels the same way Janet was trying to explain to Tahani how she feels from Oh Honey. And they say, no, this is most annoying podcast I have ever. Don't bother. SC8123 says, amazing way to sleep. They're from the UK. Went through a bad breakup and wasn't feeling great. And since I found this, it's I listen to it every day. It's helped me sleep. I also love The Good Place. So enjoying those shows. Anonymous in Alaska says, works like a charm. Listen to other podcasts while falling asleep. They're generally interesting, keep me awake depending on where the conversation going. No matter how hopped up or jittery I am, when I listen to sleep with me, I rarely stay awake past the intro. Highly recommended. Odd Force says, finally, I've had sleep problems all my life. Tried many different things, saw a segment on Vice, and then been listening. Wow, that was quick. Thank you. That's what it is. Never fails to put me to sleep. Haven't heard any of the stories because I'm asleep so fast. Lord Lulu from the UK says, absolute gibberish, but it works. When I first started playing this, my initial thought was, what, the WTF? Then I fell asleep. The narrator has a strange American accent, meaning sometimes you can't even make out what he's saying. Even Americans say that. But that's part of why it's successful with getting people to sleep. You don't have to really concentrate on content fully. I don't mean to be unkind, but listening to this is like having a forced chat with your nutty neighbor. Totally makes sense. Sometimes it's nonsense gibberish jumping from topic to topic, a topic going off on random tangents, waffling on for what seems like hours, when it could be a two-minute chat. Listen to this three nights in a row. You can play the podcast around the clock. 5 stars. Thank you, Lord Lulu. Well, you can lord over my reviews anytime. Price is Right from Canada. They said 3 stars because they don't like that, the fact that the pie asks for support. But yeah, that's what keeps 300 episodes free. The sponsors and the people that support the show. So it's like, it is a paradise. It is a contradiction or whatever you call it. It's tough for me too. My choice is always how am I going to keep the show going, sustainable and available. But yeah, you do have to ask on a continual basis. Okay, El Rocio says, how does it end? Quadruple question mark. 5 stars. Been listening years, never heard the end of the show. Can't imagine a better goal for a sleep podcast. Ash B. from 1985 says, thank you. Thanks for all hard work. Listen nightly. Really works. Soothing, puts me right to sleep. Great podcast. Mam Trio from Canada. That must be a trio. They say. I lost my place. Great podcast. Great. It makes you feel safe. Alternative to medication. When Isudu. Says, it's magic, changed my life. Last night, voice worked into a complex dream. I listened to the day, laugh out loud. Thank you. The old fizzy pineapple from Australia. That's one of my, actually, I do make fizzy pineapple. So usually, though, I mix pineapple and coconut water. It's a pretty good drink. But fizzy pineapple says these across the board. Works a treat in, normally I spend hours with a busy mind. Perfect lullaby that's from Megalit 2121. Katie 11 says, amazing. Thank you. And Sumic says, help me sleep on the first try. So thank you, everybody, for reviewing the show over on Apple Podcasts. If you want to review the show, you could do it right in your Apple Podcast app or on your iTunes on your desktop. Also, if you're on your desktop, you could kind of rate the reviews you've read, if they're going to be helpful to new listeners or not. And I really want to thank people who go out of their way, because that's how Sleep With Me grows and people find out about it. It's just word of mouth, as you letting people know your honest experience with the podcast. Thank you, everybody that does that. As I said earlier, Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because of people that support the show directly on Patreon or other means, or support our sponsors. So thank you for everybody that does that, so that it can be out there for thousands of other people to enjoy. It's kind of like, yeah, each person that sponsors the show supports it for thousands of other people, which is amazing. And I'm grateful for that.
And what else? So we're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all of the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com, including the show we talked about tonight, It Makes a Sound. And you could start listening if you didn't listen to season one of It Makes a Sound. You could listen to It Makes a Sound, just It Makes a Sound. And what is that? Your podcast app of choice. Sorry, my mind blanked there. I see it about Cody playing the drums. And then wondering about the peacocks. So, we're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at PRX.org. Yeah, including a lot of great stuff. So check it out, PRX.org. And that's it. There's 20 other episodes ready to go if you need them. Here, let me tuck you in. Good night.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.